You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are we not entertained?
A fun edition of the Garden
Report. It wasn't MSG, but we'll take it. Yeah.
Nothing but happy times. Yeah, right. Look at it.
This was a great game.
Two great games so far out of the first four, with the opener being super entertaining. This was a fun game, man. This was a lot of fun to watch. But like, more importantly, like of all of the question marks and all of the things that everyone's concerned with regarding the team, a lot of boxes got checked tonight, if only for a night, but still pretty good. Celtics overcame a 12-point deficit, you know, in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes to go, and then went on a 12 or a 14-0 run in overtime to shut it down. I mean, they were down 12 with 6 minutes to go. And shot back, had a chance to, you know, winning shot to possibly a shot to win it, didn't, and absolutely blew the Hornets' doors off in overtime, and they win. This was a fun game, 140-129. Great performances from Tatum and Brown together. Marcus Smart doing Marcus Smart things, late, not early, but late. He definitely came around. Rob Williams looking more like Rob.
Spry.
He was
shout out to you, John. Shout out to you.
He's
spry.
It doesn't mean that he was doing it before and we missed it. He wasn't. He was active all game, but he was springy and spry today and definitely was getting off his feet a lot more, and it impacted the game in huge ways. Schroeder,
yeah, right, John? And that last one, that alley-oop from Tatum, he had to go get that. So, you know.
Yeah.
Get up there. Yeah. So, guys, I'll start with – there was
Jaylen Brown buried a man tonight. Did you guys – we can't start the show without saying rest in peace to Miles Bridges. He had a good little career going too.
Miles Bridges will be coming up from the ashes at some point.
Well, Miles Bridges got a taste of his own medicine finally.
Yeah.
Because that's what Miles Bridges does.
He does. He assassinates people.
For the most part, and I think this goes for the entire overtime period. That was the older players on the game saying, look, it's time for us to take over now. The Schroeders, the Tatums, the Browns, like
the old guys
now, right? There's no more kids here.
The Tatum, all 19 years of him.
Yeah, right.
Jaylen turned 25.
Jaylen just had a birthday. Yeah, he's like, dude, what is it, quarter century? All right, come on. Let me show these kids.
The boomers.
You know, I got some miles here. You know, I got some miles.
Like me and Sherrod coming back. Tonight was the return of the boomers, right? Like
Jim, that's right.
And not to discredit the Hornets because they played a heck of a game, but you know, at the 2 minutes into that overtime, they were like, well, wait a minute. We shouldn't even be in overtime. You know what? Let's close the door on these guys. 12-0 run to close it out. And Jaylen Brown, man, like that's the kind of dunk that when they show the highlights of his career, you're going to see that one. Like when they show his greatest dunks, that's up there already.
Oh,
it's going to be there for a while.
I don't know.
I don't know if it was that great of a dunk, dunking over Miles Bridges is something.
In the moment, it was fun.
Regardless of who the victim is, that. I don't know. That's
awesome. It was huge. No, it was awesome. And he was fired up.
That's okay. I caught it, John. Caught it.
He was fired
up. Miles got their chance, dude. Those are the best ones, guys. It happens so fast. Life's come at you fast, right?
Is Joe Sway's audio doing the little digital robot right now? The guy can't even get his first point across.
No.
I thought it was just me.
Strikes again.
Wait, was doing it the whole time? Shut up.
Just parts of it.
Don't worry, mine's already screwed up too.
No. Jimmy, what popped for you tonight? What stood out most? There's a lot of stuff tonight.
I mean, there's a few things. I mean, I was you know, Jason Tatum was kind of in his bag tonight, which was really great to see. He's had a couple of colder ones, and you know, he can get hot, like, you know, like the best of him in the NBA. He can also get cold, unfortunately, but you know, tonight he just looked like the Tatum that's going to carry these guys on those certain nights. And I mean, man, the step back jumpers, the threes, I mean, he was feeling it. Certainly stuck out to me. I was obviously had a close eye on Jaylen Brown, because anybody who watched the show last night knows how, you know, high alert I am when you know, he misses the third game of the year, and you know, we talk about knee pain. So I was obviously looking to see how he was, you know, going on that knee. And I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't really notice much, you know, of, you know, him in pain. Clearly, he's throwing balls down people's throats, you know, Miles Bridges. But I thought he had a little bit of a quiet first half. But overall, great performance. And then one more guy I'll say that I was impressed with is Schroeder. I mean, he just seems more and more comfortable in that point guard role. Doesn't really matter who's out there with him. He's playing his game.
Well, the Sherrod, I want your take, and then we can kind of go piece by piece here, because there's a lot. Both, I thought Schroeder was good. I thought Marcus, like I said, made some plays late. I do think the double point guard lineup, the combo has not been great together, but obviously there were good things that happened late because both guys were making plays individually, but up until this point has not been outstanding. But Sherrod, what stood out to you?
You know, the guy that stood out to me was Marcus Smart, because he got back to doing Marcus Smart things. I mean, this is a game where he was 3-for-12, had a crappy shooting game, and yet he made a significant impact on winning, forcing the steals. And I thought after that one steal near the end of regulation, where he's got the ball, and you know damn well it crossed his mind, for even for a millisecond, to jack that shot up, he looks over to the bench. Ime wants a timeout, they get a timeout. And obviously they didn't get a great shot at the very end of regulation, but the point is he didn't buy into that impulse of just jacking up a shot.
Yeah, so and everyone's going
to – shout out to Gordon Hayward, who clearly played like someone who had no clue about who the hell he was playing against.
I know.
I mean, he made some – just. I mean, you know Marcus Smart is going to make a play on the
He's
ball.
He's
going to
get a hand on that, man.
What the hell was he thinking?
But you know what I liked? You know what the moment of the game was for Smart? And so I don't want to go – everyone's going to be like, oh, you're going negative here. I think what Schroeder does well highlights what Marcus does not, because when they're in the game together, you see Schroeder getting into the lane in a way that Marcus cannot. Schroeder's an imperfect player. But if Marcus isn't a dead-eye shooter and not able to get into the lane to penetrate and then to kick or to dish, he's very limited in what he's able to do in a half-court offense. And it really is highlighted when you see Schroeder playing such high energy and getting – to the basket and putting the pressure on the defense. So I am a little worried about the Marcus Smart experiment overall, but what we need is Marcus just to do 4, 5, 6 of those things that he does to impact the game in multiple ways.
And
that's what we talked about, is he's not a true point guard, but when he's not making those 5, 6, 7 winning plays, he's not doing enough. So tonight I thought the most important thing that happens is when LaMelo friggin' broke Marcus's ankles. And I think that woke him up, because the next two trips down later, he got
in his
he
face.
Got after it. He's like, nope, I just got embarrassed. And it's like that switch where you're like, where has that been? I really think he flipped it right there. And he was way more active and engaged in a million different ways, made a ton of Marcus plays, active hands, good deflections, playing defense with his feet and his body, staying in front of people, really, really, really changed things around. You know, obviously he hit a couple of shots late where he really wasn't hitting much early. So I thought that was a good one. But again, it comes down to choice with him, which is like, are you going to be that guy? Like, don't get your contract and stop diving on the floor. Like, without diving on the floor, you're not worth that money.
Yeah, but I don't
that's what he's got to be. He's got to go out there. He's still got to
I get what you're saying, John, but I don't think it's a matter of him controlling it. I think it's one of those things where he just wants to be more of a, not a focal point of the offense, but wants to have more of a say. Like, that's what a point guard is supposed to do. And I feel like with when he's out there with Schroeder, it's tough, because Schroeder's the type of guy that can make a lot of things happen when the ball's in his hands. So it leaves Marcus sort of, you know, in an awkward position, but he didn't lose the intensity on the defensive end. You know?
So no, there was one part Schroeder waved him off too. He's like, da-da-pa-pa-pa-pa.
I thought,
the ball on the point guard. He's like, nah. And he took it.
I got this.
I thought when Tatum got him the ball, you know, from behind the arc, and it was 2 seconds left on the shot clock, you know, he saw that, okay, here's my chance. Didn't make it. But again, to your point, or I think what Sherrod said, it didn't discourage him from the defensive end. And then when the overtime started, he was in lockdown mode.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was good. He was he yeah. That's what he has to do. Jimmy, you missed us saying nice things about Marcus.
I was watching from behind the scenes. So I thought Marcus defensively had a nice impact in that, you know, especially in that overtime in the fourth quarter there. John, I heard what you said. It kind of woke him up a little bit when he got his ankles snapped there. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't like he fell over.
Put him on skates a little bit.
Dude, LaMelo
he was on skates. Come on, Jimmy.
Fine, but LaMelo Ball's been going to be doing that to everybody for a long, long time. That kid can freaking play.
He's so much better than that. He's better than he was last year. No doubt about that. And that's scary.
Yeah,
I feel like we all knew that one guy who the knockdown shooter, but that guy usually didn't make it to the league. Like he's just
I've already gone on apology cam I think last season on LaMelo Ball, so I'm not going to rehash it. But listen, Marcus Smart is going to make his going to earn his play by being the Marcus Smart that all the fans grew to love right here in Boston, right? The Marcus winning plays type guy. His shot was still off. You know, he's still got to figure out what's going on with that outside shot since I think the first game of the season, he's been pretty much an automatic miss from deep. So that's still an issue. But, if he can do it in other ways with the passing, with the defense, with the energy, steals, whatever, then, that's how he's going to end up on the court.
Garden Report is brought to you, as always, by our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Go to betonline.ag. Use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. A new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Once again, use the code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. From football to basketball, boxing, your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Once again, BetOnline, where the game starts. Use the code CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
I still think Schroeder, that was, again, one of my bold predictions. Schroeder might end up being the more dependable true point guard on this team when it's all said and done, but certainly Marcus Smart can have an effect on the team in positive ways.
Yeah, I mean, the shooting is rough. It was another bad one again. 3 of 12, 1 of 9 after 3 of 8, 1 of 5 and an 0 for in game 2. He did make 5 out of 11 three-pointers, but I mean, overall right now, his overall field goal percentage is 28 and his three, really dark times for Marcus right now. And it's not
I love looking at that column. That's your favorite Marcus Smart column, huh? Shooting percentage.
Well, I mean, look.
Well, it's the NBA, Josue. It's kind of important.
Marcus, it kind of stands out, Josue.
Pretty sure you got to hit a shot.
My favorite, favorite.
Field goal is one thing, but he's looking at the three-point all the time.
No, John, what about the winning plays category? What about the winning plays category?
Winning shares.
Go to that one.
My two favorite stats are the WP and the MV. The winning plays and the moral victories. As long as
moral victories,
No, I don't like the MVs. No, that's for minor league.
What about the PT category? Participation trophy.
I love
MVs. Aren't the Patriots leading the NFL in MVs right now?
I love Celtics. I remember back in the day, we were just at NBC, Sherrod. We were just the king, and Jimmy there too, the king of MVs. Whether they didn't
nearly
win,
lost by five.
Oh, but man, that's a good team that they hung with there. And we were
talking about the beginning of the Brad era.
Many MVs.
Wild just scored 37.
We're going to welcome in Bobby.
It's Jimmy Toscano.
Yeah.
Jimmy's in the room here.
I feel that Bobby is filled with seven or eight really bad takes tonight, and I want to hear them all.
We got two Jimmys. Let's go.
Hey, where I was at with Marcus. I was low on Marcus.
You were ready to kill Marcus. Can you apologize to yourself from 15 minutes ago? And I'll do the same thing about Tatum.
Yeah, definitely. He looked so much like himself in that second half, but the shooting woes still continue. He's just a non-factor in the scoring game, which matters. So it's nice he picked it up and started going in the right direction there, but it overall doesn't alleviate all my fears and worries about him to start this season. He has been so slow. I can't even dream of making a shot right now. And again, this is what you want to see him do in response to that, but it's worrisome that he wasn't doing that to start the year. You know, some good passing in the early portions of the season, but you didn't see him get involved in the lane.
Did you say Jabari Parker?
We'll get to Jabari. We'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby Kimmel making threes like he's Jabari Parker, man. What do you want
from him? One of my boomers. Shout out to the boomers.
Oh, so good.
Jabari Boomer Parker. My gosh.
Yeah, you know what's the boomer move when he got the ball in the corner, took a dribble, and then took a three?
Jabari
Parker made it, though.
Shooting line drives down at the rim.
Yeah, I'm not hating, but come on. That's that old man.
Friggin' heat-seeking missiles. Those things, the arc on those things is just like that. You know?
Seriously, though,
that much off the ground.
Oh, my God.
How much of a boost was he? We were all like, why'd they cut him? If they actually went ahead and just let him go, I would have been so frustrated.
No, it was a restructure the whole time.
It's a money
That was a sigh of relief right there. Yeah. So that was a sigh of relief because this is a role he can really thrive in. We've talked about it again and again. He has no expectations. Anytime they need him, he can jump in. Doesn't need a lot of shots and, you know, looks to get going. He can just get right down to the rim.
When he gets in, he has one job. Get buckets.
The three-point shooting, stunning, though. He has never done this.
Oh, and the rebounding, Sherrod. You know, those second-chance opportunities.
You know what? That was icing on the cake that he was getting rebounds because I don't expect him to rebound. I don't expect him to defend.
Running the break, Sherrod?
What's that?
He was out running the break a little bit.
He looked fluid.
He looked good.
Oh, what a boost. What a win. Yeah.
You know that old head game?
Yeah.
I do. You got one or two of those full length run the floor moments in your game all night. Don't ask for any more.
And some hard box shots.
He didn't do that again. You notice he did it one time.
Speaks for itself, but Jimmy, Josue, and I were talking about this yesterday. We knew this would be a really hard game against a team that's rolling, and Charlotte did bring it to Boston on offense through three quarters to be able to get up from down 12. And really, if you look at the win probability, they're having a very slim chance to win this
down
game at that point.
Down 12 with 6 minutes to play, and they ripped it.
You know? You end up winning by 5, right? Or 11 in the end with the free throws and all that, but it's just a very impressive win on both ends of the floor. I think they made a lot of progress here. And just the feeling of going home at 2-2, knowing you stole a game versus 1-3. Like you said, with the moral victory, I wasn't going to accept the moral victory out of this one.
No, not tonight.
Yeah, you were there. You needed to go and claim it. And the guy who impressed me most, there were a lot of impressive performances here, but Dennis Schroeder really starting to feel like he's finding himself within this offense, empowered as a point guard through much of the stretch of these games. And I was very happy Ime kept rolling with that, even though it was Horford who was out tonight, because he could have gotten away from that, could have gone with Grant. And it seems like Schroeder's smart, even though the defense just backs way off them. The Celtics are just scrapping together enough shooting. I haven't looked at where they rank in the league in three-point percentage so far, but Grant, Parker, Tatum, obviously, on a night like this, just all these random guys keep stepping up and giving them three-point shooting. Schroeder was in that category here tonight, too. So that's encouraging because that was their big weakness.
So that was the one thing I'd say, I'm not going to say unsustainable. The one thing I'd be concerned about here is like getting another night like that where you're getting, guys like Schroeder and Parker hitting from behind the arc, which you're not expecting them to get. But then it really didn't matter because in the second half, things fell more into order. So the first half, those things kept them alive, I think. In the second half, it was really more a matter of Tatum playing as complete a game as we've seen him play in a really long time. And it wasn't just the scoring. It was how
he was
scoring
so good
on the pick and roll, splitting the defense, getting into the lane.
Creating for Rob, creating, the great chemistry with Rob late.
Creating, kicking to Marcus, got him an open three look, running back and playing defense. He had that great sequence where he had the assist and then got back and got a block.
That's some MVP playing right there, John.
That was like a totally baller sort of thing for Tatum tonight. He played like game. And at the time, when Jaylen wasn't really going, and then Jaylen did start going late, and that kind of combo definitely is what led them.
And we talked about the accountability that he stepped up with after that Toronto game, saying, I'm not perfect. I lost control there, taking the blame for falling into that ref hole during that game. Sounded pretty sincere, and that was big from him. It showed he cared.
You noticed also, guys, and tell me if you agree, I think the complaining, it's there, but they're getting off it quicker, you know? And I noticed it a few times where it'd be like, and then be like,
that's the new thing. It's just hands up.
I've been told not to do it. And then going
back. A lot smarter about it now than they've been in the past, where before they would just bitch and moan about every single call. Like Grant Williams may have had one of the low key, you know, awesome plays where he thought he got whacked in the head and he calmly went up to the ref, wouldn't stop it to play.
He's like, so I got
and they were not going to review that play. They had absolutely no intention. Grant talked him into doing that, got a flagrant one. He knocks down a couple free throws. Little things like that, I think, show their growth. And Ime, one of the things, and we haven't talked about this yet, but the decision to start fouling Plumlee when the game was like, that was.
Oh, the game turned in an instant.
That was huge. I was finally looking for some kind of like Ime adjustment that swings the tide of the game in the Celtics' favor, and that was it.
Yeah, Grant must have went up to Ime after that one with the wink.
It's like at the Friday's game, Bobby, when I told you, I said I was more looking forward to how he was going to bounce back as opposed to smashing the panic button or saying, oh man, this team, you know, they better get some wins really soon. Let's see how Ime reacts. Let's see how he responds to adversity. You know, this is his first spot. You know, this is his first time in that position. So I thought he did a really good job of making those adjustments. And also when it came to, you know, putting the lineup together, he put together a second unit to strengthen those guys. Obviously, Jabari Parker coming in and draining three-pointers was a big push. Peyton Pritchard, I thought. You know, he's building a solid second unit there, even with guys out. Guys like Al Horford, who's been tremendous the last couple of games.
Yeah. I mentioned it. I asked you guys today when we were texting, you know, just how much time you spent on it. But I did think it was Sherrod and I talked about it a little bit today, how telling it was how much the players really enjoyed Ime's first win yesterday and like how behind him they were after a whole season's worth of nobody saying anything nice about Brad. Seeing them really getting behind their coach, did make me feel a little better because it was like, okay, if there are bumps and bruises if there are some bumps on the road along the way, you know, we got it. You know, we got this guy. You know, we want him to succeed. We like him. We like the direction that it's going. And that kind of said that. So that was a small thing. I kind of dug that yesterday.
But, John, we're still in the honeymoon. They're going to do that.
Fine.
They're lovey-dovey right now. Okay. This is what everything is good. Even when things are, like, crappy, they're still okay because this is the honeymoon. And we love each other. We're going to love him and pet him.
But they've had a real serious
call. Call him George, right? Yeah, no, I hear
exactly.
You.
Exactly.
No, it was good.
That's a great reference. Oh, man.
It was probably good to hit a bump as big as that.
Tell me more about the rap.
We could be literary from time to time.
Yeah.
Good job. I like that, Sherrod. There you go. So, we read books around here.
Yeah. I did want to, Tatum, great. Brown, no ill effects, but it was, this was the Rob Awakening game, I think, for sure. You know, he does the things he does. He's got the good hands, passing, made that great bounce pass top of the key early in the game. Unreal. You know, he's just very smart and quick and just, you know, you see that IQ sometimes. Still some flat-footed on defense a little bit from time to time, a little bit slow to help. You know, bad job challenging threes. Jimmy, get out of the comments of Tyson Men. I like it. Fuzzy's great.
I didn't do that.
That was me. I hit that one.
Fuzzy's a legend.
I couldn't let it slide. But at least it doesn't see Joe Sway in it. There's no Joe Sway in it.
We're all at the wheel now.
That's
yeah,
great.
Right.
That's good
and how
stuff.
About Rob getting but, way up so, there on that big, big
okay, so does that track. Change the fact that he hadn't prior to tonight?
Again,
I don't understand.
It proves John's point.
Are
it proves
we
your
not
point,
allowed
John.
To talk? It makes my point. It doesn't
we're
it
allowed.
Makes
point, right.
It
just
it
you
makes
guys
it
are
for
slamming
me.
The
panic. No,
you
it's
guys
not.
Are slamming the panic button. You're
it
like,
makes
oh my,
my
god,
point.
He can miss a month. Brown,
when you
the
don't
arms going
it,
up.
You're like, no, it makes the point. When you don't see it, you're like, where is that? And then when you see it, you celebrate it and you're like, oh, there it is. You just want to see it, right?
I'm just trying to quell the concern between.
But like
two,
I said,
every injury, it's like the end of the world.
Imagine if your ace starting pitcher who throws 98, 99 every game goes out there and he's topping out at 88 and everyone's like, oh, he's fine. No, that's scary. Like, I would be worried. And then when I see him hit 99, I'll shut up, you know, but like until I see it, I'm like, okay, he's throwing 88 miles an hour. That's bad, right?
Yeah.
You know, so today was like that day where it was like, oh. He's got the lift.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not like
he had to.
We're not expecting
like,
him to jump out of the gym.
He'll lose the game. You know? It shows he still has it, but yeah, we haven't seen that. I agree. We haven't seen it.
I'm not expecting him to jump out of the gym every single game, but when he plays like he does tonight, where, you know, that alley-oop that he caught from Tatum, a couple of those blocks, some nice big rebounds, like, that's what you just want to see more consistently. And that's why when he's sort of like going at 50% around the court, that's what I mean. What the hell is going on here? And everyone's like, oh, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Well, it's kind of hard not to worry about it when you can only be who you are once every couple games. Like, no, that's not how we want it to work. You want it to be more consistent.
By the way,
I think what Rob is starting to do is he's getting better at picking his spots. Like, there were other opportunities where he could have showed that uber athleticism that we're used to, and he didn't. I think he's just starting to process, I don't need to be jumping out the gym every play.
I agree.
First, right. Myself. He doesn't have to do that, but he does need to take advantage of opportunities when his athleticism can give him an opportunity to make a play.
Okay.
I also think the passing to him has been horrible. It got much better down the stretch.
They don't look
game.
For him at all.
They don't.
At all. They
and,
never
and when
look
they
for
do,
him on the roll. It's unreal.
When they do, it's like over their shoulder.
Like Wallace or something.
Yeah.
When they do, it's over their shoulder. Yeah, wherever. Just go get it.
Yeah, they just expect him to pull it down wherever they throw it.
Yeah. Right. I'm in trouble. Rob. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
it was so bad in that first half.
I want to point out something subtle that's happening in case you don't know it. So what Bobby's doing, Bobby was late to get on the Rob train last year. So now Bobby is acting like he's more cerebral than the rest of us, seeing the more nuanced thing Rob is doing without jumping this year.
And then tweeting
something asinine, like, I think Rob's actually better this year than last year. Just trying to sneak that one by us.
He's better.
Because he was late on the Rob hype train. And
I don't fall for the high-flying dunks and all that. No.
Oh, you simpletons out there.
All I'm talking about is the stat line. And especially after tonight,
all you see
true.
Are shiny objects and big jumping things.
Yeah, right, right.
His footwork, he's actually improved.
But I, who understand basketball,
all I'm doing is
Bobby's
playing
Rob 2.0.
I'm doing is hitting basketball reference tomorrow morning and send you guys the stats next to last year's stats. And then,
I'm
trying to say.
We're eye test guys. Your number, you need to see the numbers.
Oh, yeah, the new analytics like points, rebounds, and blocks.
Yep.
Brad's not.
Yeah, we don't look at those.
Brad's looking at the same stuff Bobby's looking at. Brad's not concerned.
Bobby wants in. Bobby's trying to sneak in. He's trying to split the stock. He's trying to buy Rob's stock. He missed out on it last year.
Right. You know? Rob stonk.
Everything's just a little bit more seasoned. He's following less. He's staying down. He's playing within the flow of the switching defense, which is really hard for a guy like him. They're utilizing him in individual matchups. It's almost like a switch in one, where sometimes they're keeping him on individual guys like Bridges early on. Didn't do as good of a job with that today, but he shut down Randall in that opening night game, which just – and that's a guy who could give him trouble in the past, a banger, a guy who's big-bodied. He's just been impressive to me from the ground up to start this year. And I saw what you saw too, John. There's no doubt about it.
He was
especially
stuck
in that 0-7 game to start the preseason. But he's come a long way. And I think the ramp up, and I think what Sherrod said about him managing himself a little bit more, not trying to dunk everything and do all that. Like, there's just more of a game sense to what he's trying to do instead of trying to make a big play every single time.
So what you want to
say
is this.
Say it, though. Say it. Now, go lead that bench, Rob. Right?
Say it.
Yeah, you want to.
Like I said, same amount of minutes either way. I think you can find some chemistry.
Keep getting booted.
He's splitting the stock again.
Yep, exactly.
See, we measure.
Hey, let's
see, me and John.
Al's done. Al was incredible.
We measure Rob through stats like distance carried through the air and like hang time, vertical leap ability.
So
we're talking
vertical spacing.
Physics now.
Measure him in souls taken, you know? Like,
yeah, souls taken. That's a good one, too.
How many souls? How much how much manhood he has robbed?
How many bodies is he?
Yes, bodies. A body, yeah.
Body count this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people count blocks. We count bodies.
It'll ramp up.
Probably a newbie. Okay. What do we got?
That was good.
Blocks for the team, and they're doing this night in and night out, blocking a million shots. He's obviously at the center of it. That put them out in transition in that fourth quarter. Just all the live ball blocks, steals, disruptiveness in the lanes. this team, we knew they had the potential to be really good defensively. Tonight, we finally saw it.
Yeah.
I think John's just worried that Rob's going to turn into Nerlens Noel. You know,
that's what you guys were saying.
Who said that?
On the thread, you guys said it tonight.
I said it to stir the pot. But you know what? I was like, damn. And I said, that's like one of those Williams Noel.
But if that happens in 3 years, you guys are going to be like, oh, shit, he was right.
Like, I like Nerlens, but no, Rob's better than Nerlens. It's not even close.
All right. Hey, Nerlens isn't bad, but the way Bobby wants
to. He's not bad. Just Rob's just infinitely better.
Well, he's better now, but
see where Rob stacks up among the centers right now.
Those first few years, he looked really good.
Yeah, but then he fell off. Paid, didn't take the money back.
The parallel making there. Hopefully, I'm wrong.
Knicks were good for him last year. That kind of revitalized his career a little bit.
He can't stay healthy.
But Rob's got a way higher ceiling for sure at this point.
Yeah,
he would really need to fall off.
Yeah. If other fans ever worried about Rob, just think of Nerlens. You know.
Yeah. Listen, we love Rob, but are any of us surprised at what he's doing? No. The only difference between him now and in the past is he's healthy. That's literally the only thing he's doing more of now.
Is he, Sherrod?
Well, he's healthy enough to get you 16 boards tonight.
Well, he's playing a full dose. I mean, think about it.
He's playing real minutes.
His minutes are up. That was one of the things I was looking for.
His career high in minutes, so that's good. You know,
with him, it's about sustaining the level of play. He doesn't have to go out and get 16 rebounds every night, but the activity, the engagement that he had at both ends of the floor, giving us a little bit of that super duper athleticism that he brings to the table. The big difference with Rob now. It seemed in the past, every single time he made a play, he was trying to make a highlight play. If you throw a lob up there, he's trying to not just dunk it. He's trying to put his damn chest over the rim and dunk it. Now he's just smarter.
So, yes and no. Yeah. There are some times, like I said, he's just kind of. There's a couple times he needed more lift and he didn't get it. If he's saving himself, then he's just got to figure out the right formula. Because there's a couple times he's gone up, just not gone up high enough. He's gotten blocked. He hasn't, challenged a shot. You know, there was that crazy athleticism is a deterrent when he's going out on closeouts. You know, sometimes when he's just flying through the air and could be standing under the basket and still challenge a shot at the 3-point line. So there's just times where he's got to get up there to freak people out a little bit too. You know, that's part of it. Yeah. You know, that knowing that he can pick a ball out of the air from anywhere is a big part of his game. Yeah.
You almost never know where he's going to be in this defense. Is he dropping? Is he on one guy? Is he switching? And he's showing that he can do all that.
But he was agile and active tonight. I liked the footwork a lot. I liked his lateral movement, his agility.
He had that big contest on Oubre's three late, too.
That was big.
And he was moving well, I thought, just the way he was shuffling his feet. Far be it for me to interrupt a Rob Williams conversation, but I do want to mention that we have a new sponsor on board.
Oh, I love this.
Calm.
Let's go.
Yes. We are calm, everybody.
The rain.
John can use this. Can I get the
sometimes the I can. Version
for free. Okay. We'll talk.
When there's an injury.
I've actually used calm for a while.
When there's another injury drop on the Celtics PR account, I'm just going to send John over to one of these exercises. Right.
Wait.
If you're ever having trouble sleeping, you put this thing on, you're out.
All right, let me tell everybody about it for people who
think
don't
you're in the forest somewhere or something. You're just gone.
Yeah, Joe sways all into it. This is like a LeBron James sort of thing, right? Right?
Not you want sort to of.
To he's a big. It right he's
a, it's him, right?
You think want... about him and I like calm. I try not to think about it with him though.
Okay,
I stopped running the damn commercial. Remember that?
Because that does not make me calm.
Anyway, Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation. It has teamed up with King James. Doesn't mean you have to, but it has teamed up with LeBron James to help you activate the power of sleep. So when it comes to athletes, they focus on physical fitness, but another side of the game just important is the mental fitness. Calm is the number one app for sleep meditation. It can help you train your brain so you sleep better. It reduces stress, perform your best, just like King James. All of us are about
just
to
like
take
King
part.
James.
Yeah, all of us are taking part in a trial with Calm right now. So you may notice a totally different garden report next week.
You
may not like it. You may not like it. We may be too calm.
We might do a section where we're just breathing.
Yeah, we might just hang. Right, we may stop in the middle. for just a few minutes. We're just going to stop, and we're just going to chill.
Stories.
Sometimes
Bobby goes off on one of his statistical tangents, and that can Bobby be will hit us a with sleep a bad story take, for a lot of people.
That'll snap us right out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What? There's one thing that doesn't make me calm. It's when Bobby starts in with his stuff.
After the show, you got to go over there.
But let's tell the people the deal, because it's actually a phenomenal deal through us here, through the Garden Report. Calm.com/garden for a limited time, you get 40% off.
40% off? Subscription.
That's a lot.
Yeah, man.
I know this is our job, you know, promote this and blah, 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 and it's a sponsor. I'm not blowing smoke. 40% is a huge discount. Huge. Normally, you're getting 10 and 20%. So if you're interested in this at all, that's a pretty good deal. So head over and grab it. 40% discount for the premium subscription.
And you know what? You can even get the – it's free for the first week, I think, too. Yeah. So you can go there, give it a shot, see what you like about it, because you will definitely like some things about it, whether it's – you know, they just have like sounds, even like it helps you
garden,
talk about sleep.
Breeze,
yeah, they've got some good music options. They've got stories. They've got, you know, guys, you know, people narrating stories, whatever it is. Definitely worth checking out. You know, mental health is important, so it's worth your money.
Yeah, calm.
Calm. It's calm. Calm.com. Calm.
John, I'm not talking to you. Is that you? You doing that yourself?
C-O-M. Calm.com
with an L in there.
Garden.
All right, it's the coffee. Okay.
Garden is kind of calming too, like a garden.
Yeah.
40%.
Like the garden. The Garden Report is calming, right?
It's very relaxing, right? This is how
we need
balance,
calm after this.
This is how we balance our boomer range, is with calm. This is how we do it. So yes. Anyway, check it out. For sure, please. It's our new sponsor. We want to do right by them, and it's actually a really good deal. And we're actually all super interested in doing it. So we're all going to take part, and we'll give you a better idea of what it's all about. But we're pretty excited about it. Just jumped on board. Limited time, 40% off. Other things we want to talk about today, and I know we just spent a fair amount of time on Rob. But I'll take it around the horn, guys. Of the stuff we have not discussed yet, anything from tonight's game that stood out to you, and we can go Jabari.
Yeah, we talked about it a bit. We talked about Jabari Parker, but I guess what I want to say overall is just the fact that Ime was able to address that front court in some way, right? Whether that was Jabari Parker or Juancho Hernan Gomez, I wanted one of those guys to sort of get the free range a bit on one of these games on the road, and he was able to do that with someone like Jabari Parker. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come. I don't expect them to drop 5 3-pointers every single night, or 3 3-pointers rather every single night. But if you can have that steady option that's likely to go off for double figures on any given night, that's huge. And his effort on both ends it goes a long way for sure on that second unit. And I'm all about seeing how Ime is going to strengthen that second unit, 2, 3, 4 weeks from now when things are more concrete and guys are starting to set into their roles.
Yeah, or when everybody gets hurt.
Is anyone concerned about Aaron Nesmith DNP?
Uh-oh, oh, jeez. You had to bring that up.
He's in the doghouse right now.
New coach, same DNPCD for our friend Aaron Nesmith.
Uh-oh, Jimmy.
Just can't get himself on the court. It's a long season. I'm not apologizing for anything yet. And I will also say this. It's not like any of the other quote-unquote kids are running away with the rest of them.
Romeo Langford was with the minutes.
Romeo Langford can't even dress. Peyton Pritchard's barely playing double-digit minutes. And Grant Williams, of all people,
We said he wasn't going to get minutes, Jimmy.
And if Romeo is healthy, he'd be playing 28 minutes.
I don't know.
He likes Romeo. What do you mean?
That's the problem with the new
would have been out there instead of Jabari tonight.
That's your problem with the new boss. You have no whatever worked with the last guy. You have no idea what this guy's going to think of you. It's obvious Ime does not trust Nesmith at all right now.
Trust Grant.
Huh?
He's over two.
And he does trust Grant.
To Grant's credit, I mean, Grant. Listen, there's a reason why Grant is a relatively young guy in the league who's on the Players Association Executive Board. He knows how to politic. He knows how to legislate his way into situations. He legislated a guy getting a flagrant one tonight. How many young players can do that?
Yeah.
So he and Ime revealed even Scal was beside himself. Where Ime said, you know, Grant wanted to know what could he do to get on the floor. And he said, you need to shoot 40% and play good defense. And, you know, one out of two ain't bad.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is with Grant, the Grant is – that's exactly what he needs to do. But Grant, the key is just don't mess it up too bad. You know, like it's ultimately like just be okay. The expectations aren't super high for him to hold some minutes. Whereas with Neesmith, there's so many things he can mess up because he's just so all over the place. And that's the problem with him. He's just such a spaz.
Yeah, you need a defensive four to play in this league. And Neesmith,
again, he would absolutely see the court if he was coming in there and shooting 44% from three. They'd find a way for him if he was
but
automatic.
I think he could.
But he's not. He's going to get Yeah.
He's not because he's not playing, but don't tell me. I mean, you saw how he took control of the team in the summer league.
I want to see
He had some spurts, you know, going into this season, but he doesn't get the opportunity the same way that other guys seem to. So I don't know why that is, if he's not earning it in practice or what the reason
he
is.
He hasn't been good. He started this year 0 for 10.
Yeah, being bad is
half
being
the
bad
team hasn't been
the
good, and they're still getting minutes.
He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, but you're not
he's got to play though.
Opportunities here, then.
But he's got to step on the
court.
Is he
going to get 30 minutes? I mean, this guy's way down the roster. We talked about over and over again that the roster's older, it's more experienced. You got wings that are better than him, and the goal all along was to rely on those kind of guys less. And they haven't needed Pritchard so far. They haven't needed Neesmith so far. And
again,
it's a good thing.
If
Grant's
he
just
were
gravy.
Again, it all comes down to Romeo played some last year because he was legitimately solid defender. So he earned his way by having one, I'm not going to call it elite skill, but one skill you could count on that had value to you. Mm-hmm. If Neesmith was absolutely someone that they could count, if I could just stick him in the corner and we move the ball, he's going to knock those down, but he's just not. That's the problem, is he's not doing the thing he's supposed to be great at, and everything else is a discombobulated mess. He doesn't know where he's supposed to be on offense or defense. He's playing too fast, and that's just the problem with him, which is too bad. Because, again, we did see the glimpse a little bit in the summer league. We did see it slow down. We saw the handle improve just a little. And then, again, he just goes in and he just looks like the game's just going 100 miles an hour for him. And he just can't process it right now. It doesn't mean he won't ever, but that's why he's not in.
And you know what else, too, John? Sadiq Bey's balling out this year. Still going from last year.
I know.
Yeah. Anyways, I wanted to mention Miles Bridges explained himself on Twitter just now.
What did
he
say?
He goes,
I'm not dead.
Also, I'm a jump every time I'm down by three in an overtime game. When the game's on the line, exclamation point, hell of a play. So he gave props to Tatum and said, look, I don't care who's in front of me. I'm not going to move out the way when it's a close game.
Tatum moved out of the way.
I appreciate that. I'm glad.
Classic Rozier form says, no need to explain. You front line with it every time.
Hey, we're giving him shit, obviously, but it's nice to see players go up against somebody trying to throw it down. I mean, you want to see that. You don't want to see people just do that thing where they just kind of slide
Tatum,
underneath.
Tatum did
by.
It twice tonight.
If someone did that in that situation.
Tatum did it
that'd
twice tonight. He was like, right. No.
Yeah, he does that.
Gone. Yeah. He wanted nothing to do with it, for sure. He doesn't want to get on a poster. All right, guys, take a quick timeout. We want to tell you about one of our sponsors, which, of course, is INSA Dispensaries. We're going to talk about it. It's one of Massachusetts' premier cannabis dispensaries. It's INSA, INSA. Their founders, Pat and Pete, they re-engineered the cannabis model from what they sell to how they sell it. Never forget, it is for everyone, and that's what they do. INSA dispensaries are inviting. They're modern. Come in and learn more about it. The staff, their authorities on the science, answer every question, difference between the flowers and the concentrates, your edibles, whatever have you. World-class head chef too, only the most respected growers. And where can you find these fine establishments? Well, there are also it's local. I do want to point out the VC. It's not a couple of Silicon Valley VCs. These are people from Springfield, Mass. They have dispensaries in Salem, you know, as far as people here in the Boston area or out west, East Hampton, or two Springfield locations. One of them is just off I-91 next to the MGM Casino. So what
that's
you
a
do?
Good spot. That's a great spot. That's a good
it's
spot.
It's a party out there, bro. That was my college stomping grounds, man.
That's a nice place to go on the way.
Hitting the time machine. Oh, damn.
Yeah, there was no casino back then, though. No casino.
Yeah, it's for the best for you.
Go check out the Hall of Fame Casino.
Hall of Fame, a little pit stop. A little INSA pit stop on the way to the craps table.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so we're rocking the shirts here.
Yeah,
Slay's got it
That's
too.
A good one.
Absolutely.
I keep thinking that thing's a sticker, Josue. Every time I put that T-shirt on, I keep trying to.
I know, right?
It's
like, yeah.
It's thrown
like,
me over.
I like
over
the collar. Like,
yeah. So what you do, just if I you like want, that. here's what we'll give you when you do go to an INSA dispensary. If you go to any INSA dispensary, you mention that the Garden Report sent you. They will give you these T-shirts that we're wearing. One, they might give you five of them. They gave me like, I got like a six pack of T-shirts. They'll give you the T-shirt.
I did too.
They'll give you the T-shirt for a penny, okay? Which is a cool little thing. So you get basically a free tee just to go in, say Garden Report. You don't even have to buy anything, but while you're there, check it out, see what they have to offer. INSA Dispensary Salem, 2 in Springfield, 1 in East Hampton. Mention the Garden Report sent you. Get a T-shirt for a penny. Why not, right?
Penny, get a little extracurriculars for $20 and one penny. So it's like the best of both worlds. You walk out of there with a shirt and something to do.
I got this and this for 20 and a penny.
right.
Not bad.
20 and a penny, everybody.
Love the smell, too. One of the best smells.
I bet you do, Bob. I bet you do.
Bobby, do you need to get a room for you and your INSA products?
Bobby's room. Oh, something tells me Bobby's room smells like INSA.
Well, yeah, Bobby just has flour that he doesn't smoke. He just has it for the smell.
I just spread it around my room.
Like a candle.
Bacon, hot coffee in the morning.
Bobby, that's not potpourri, INSA. Right? Yeah. You better mm-hmm. spark that thing now.
Yeah. mm-hmm. I love the smell. Check it out. Tell them the Garden Report sent you. Jaylen Brown, by the way, and we haven't really talked a ton about Jaylen, so I did want to circle back a little bit. He spoke after the game and said that he does not believe that his knee is chronic. He said it was last year. He's saying that this year he thinks it's more of an isolated flare-up and he'll be fine. I don't know what he's basing that off of, but it's his body, his knee. I don't know that he's qualified necessarily to say that. But
it was chronic last year, but now it's not chronic.
I don't know how that happens.
Because chronic, we need to learn the word chronic.
Means it's something that you're able to manage, but doesn't ever fully go away.
Yeah, chronic is chronic.
Jaylen's got to remember who he's talking to. You know, half of these media members, they're like, wait a minute, that's not how that works.
Yeah, chronic. Yeah,
maybe.
That's not how it goes.
I mean, there's no surgery that can cure your chronic whatever.
That's why it's called chronic, right? It doesn't go away.
That's why John is a card-carrying member of the blown ACL club. He would rather have that because you
just
can come back
blow it up and fix it. Yeah. Those things, you just stick them together.
Even though that is John surgery.
Yeah.
Originally.
Yeah, it's like with the pitcher. Yeah. Get John Sergio, come back stronger.
Didn't you ever see Rookie of the Year? That kid was throwing like 120 miles an hour. You know?
What was I going to say? I forgot.
Well, hey, what about Sherrod? Sherrod, you weren't on the show yesterday, and I took a lot of flack from people who are watching it because I was and still am fairly concerned about Jaylen Brown's knee. Is that something that I'm off base on, or is there a reason that after three games?
I'm not.
That's his go-to right there.
I'm cautiously concerned. And by that, I mean I'm concerned, but I'm not hitting the panic button because I just don't think there's a reason
That's
to
exactly right where you should be. And Jimmy was – the panic meter was
not
high
hit,
for Jimmy
there's
yesterday.
There's no reason to hit the I'm panic button alert. At this point. Now, if he didn't play tonight
– oh, yeah, high alert Jimmy.
Then it's like, okay, this is a problem because then it's like, okay, we're not even through the first full week and a half of the damn season, and he's already missed – you know, a couple of games with this thing. But he was out there playing and I played well, played it over time, made major athletic plays when it mattered most down the stretch, and had a really good game. Now, will he be good enough to go against Washington in a couple of days? Because
that's what I worry about.
Yeah, because if it's a situation where he has to sit out that game, then all of a sudden I'm not thinking so much about, you know, whether he can play or not. I'm thinking, are we going to go through Kemba Walker 2.0 with Jaylen?
That's what I'm saying too.
When he's healthy, he's incredibly impactful, but we can't rely on him to be healthy. But right now, I'm cautiously concerned about that, but I'm not like hitting the panic button because Jaylen has shown the ability to play through, you know, that. But
he plays through pain a lot. And
but that's not where we are though. That's the point. Okay. Like That, and I'm with you, Jimmy, and I'm kind of in between you guys on the far end of the worry meter. It doesn't mean his season is over, but it's a super concern really it early is. In the year because you know
just
we
saw
what, we're already
we
here.
Saw what it did last. We saw what it did last yeah. year. Like, it's different if you get to, like, look, everybody plays hurt. You get to game 70, 80, entering the playoffs, and nobody's 100%. And those are the times right. where you're like, okay, he'll just tough it
well,
out.
Well, Ime did say today, I asked him, is this typical? Is this kind of a cause for alarm? And he said it's not typical. Like, yeah. they've had some extenuating circumstances here that have made guys
right, and,
do yeah. big workloads to get themselves ready that probably overexerted themselves. And –
Yeah, and then you get the quick turnaround to the start of the season, which yeah. is
another
fact.
And you play 14 back-to-backs, which is the most out of anybody here.
That's
the
so
thing is, like,
stupid.
It's not
schedule.
It's not acceptable to me that it's like, oh, okay, well, they'll manage. You don't want to be in a position where you're managing. And again, in order for this team to reach its level, you need Tatum and Brown
right.
up a yeah. notch. You can't yeah. have Jaylen Brown playing at 85% of himself, which is still very good. It doesn't work that way. He has to be 115%, 125% of what he was last year, because those guys have to lift their game to get the Celtics into contention because it's just not a good enough roster unless they do that. So you need Tatum and Brown to be absolute assassins every single night, superstars raising the level of the game. You can't be managing injuries here and just toughing it out. It's just not going to be good enough for this team. Is Jaylen still going to be good? Yeah, he'll be good, but that kills the team. You can't have Jaylen at less than 100% and have it happen early in the year. So
especially when his backup's Romeo, who can't see the court anyways. And the right. other thing is this, it's Jaylen one night, it's Al tonight. Like, is it just going to be like, we're just playing, you know, who's who of out on any given night? Because, you know, we know the history with Al Horford and some of the lower body issues that he's had. And, you know, he's obviously on the other side of, you know, a typical playing career. I'm not saying he can't play. Clearly he's shown that he's, you know, extremely capable of playing at a high level still in the NBA, but it always comes down to health and, you know, pain management and all that stuff. And to already be missing games at this point in the season is just like we all said, they're not deep enough for that. And not many NBA teams are. I mean, it's just the way the NBA is now.
Yeah. My concern is the array of injuries that we saw last year. 4, 5, 6
and
ailments.
Tatum's grabbing at his calf tonight. My God.
That's the one. Like, it just piled up over Brown. He's a physical player. He's sprinting down the floor every time. He's initiating contact. He's going to the lane again and again. So that stuff that's going to pile up for him just from the way he plays, because he's not as finesse, as perimeter-based as Tatum is on a play-to-play basis. So I think there's reason for, like Sherrod said, a cautious concern, that kind of thing. But panic off this one ailment that really didn't hobble Rob all that much, and Brown was back
different players
later.
Different injuries, different players, like different levels.
Semantic arguments with panic. It's not panic. It is flat right. out like this could.
Hey, if we're calling it like a mild concern, I think that's fair.
No, it's not. It's only mild. Look, you can be mildly concerned.
You're taking so many levels of it.
Or heavily concerned. The point is,
can we create the hierarchy right now? Yeah. No concern.
There's like five
mild
levels.
Concern, medium concern.
Yeah, panic. Where's our panic meter, John, that we had last? I think I had Gelso create it last year. Yeah, we already need
the exact wording that we've been using.
Large concern? Is it big gulp concern? Is
that's
it
in there yeah, somewhere? Right. We'll pull that back out.
Panic meter. But Zanis was on the far end of the panic meter.
I'm on the always on the far
he
end
was the
of
red,
I was
in the,
I
in the
I was next to him. Then it was Joe Sway. Then it was
Rod in
Bobby
in, the
in all green.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never concerned.
Was
but we'll see. Yeah, listen, I don't want to be concerned. You think I want to be concerned? I don't want to be concerned. I just want to I don't want to see the and what is it, the NEBH medical report on Twitter that comes out every damn day and everyone gets
every
talk
day
about
it's
panic
like
mode.
You're punching. You're like
exactly all of a
next?
Sudden you get that alert and you're like, oh god, here we go, and you start scrolling down the list of names.
All I do is text Doc Flynn every single day. Yeah, I'm like, how bad is this?
yeah what does this
not
mean
real with this team? And I know people in the comments will like figure out what's going on with the medical staff. It's like, all right, like, that's the hardest thing to do in this, you know, how are you going to like do a deep dive on stuff you know nothing about? It's
right.
We're all just always guessing with the injury.
There's
stuff.
No point to guess it. But again, it's always like a little bit of a worry, you know.
You can make an inference. You can read. You can talk to somebody. But at the end of the day, you don't. You're not looking at the scans. You're not in the X-ray room, MRI. Like, what are you gonna do?
Well, no. Yeah, looking at the damn report that they tweet out and being like, "What the hell's going on right now?"
Yeah,
that's pretty much the extent of it.
Web and then you get
the other thing is with the Celtics, you don't know what the hell to believe. Sure,
the skepticism's fair with the Celtics. We went through the whole Kemba ride.
Yeah, but even prior to that, I mean, you can go.
You're gonna bring up KG, aren't you?
Yeah. I wasn't gonna, but you can go down the list of.
Well, that's the old staff. I'm just talking new staff.
Well, there's some carryover of the people who are in the organization.
Yeah, I hate that speculation because it's like. You don't know. Is it medical staff? Is
it bad? Doctors bad?
Are people out of shape? You know, like I have not in game condition. Yeah, I mean, you don't know. With Romeo, I think you just got to say like the dude's just hurt.
Listen, players are very hesitant to say that they're banged up, that they're hurt. Like you, almost everybody's like, I'm fine. So it's tough.
Yeah.
It is tough. But anyway, this was overall. Super positive night because of, like I said, what we, just recapping top of the show, a lot of things you wanted to see. And again, just to go through again, Rob looking like Rob, Marcus doing Marcus things, a good game from Jaylen and Jason together, Schroeder making an impact, Jabari making an impact, just tons of good stuff. And they were shorthanded. So, I mean, again, you're missing two guys, whether or not you're expecting a ton out of Romeo, he's clearly a rotation player now. And then Al has been their most consistent player through three games. So being without those guys and coming out with a win on a back-to-back in Charlotte, huge game for the Celtics.
The team that was undefeated.
Undefeated team playing really well. This is a dynamite offense. You know, they're really, really good. So this was all around a really solid win with a ton of things to build on. We're going to wrap it up. So, guys, here before we go?
I didn't really notice our friend Gordon Hayward much tonight of all the
things. That
I did. He was so bad.
I did. He was the guy that was turning the ball over down the stretch.
That turnover was awful.
Dennis Schroeder, who's 6 inches shorter than him. I noticed Gordon all game.
Especially when you know Marcus Smart and you're throwing in that area. Scal was saying that. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you should know this as well as anyone.
His new barber's trash, by the way.
You broke up with Gordon, and first time you saw them, they put on a little bit of weight, and you're like, oh, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it was.
You're there's the revenge.
You're all right. Good to see you. You're looking good, and you don't really mean it.
The funny thing about Gordon is he's in the same spot with the Hornets as he was in Boston. Yeah. The guy that was supposed to be your number one is probably your number three or four.
Right.
Ooh. Hornets totally defensively too.
Someone asked me to do a marriage analogy. That's why I did that. People are like, why are you fat shaming Gordon? I was just messing around.
Smart.
Someone asked me in the chat to do a marriage analogy. I just tried to slip it in.
You're right.
Whatever thing that
made that person look different, you're like, oh, yeah.
And Joe Sway is just going to double down on that.
Yeah, right.
Quick on Smart.
Asked for it.
Not that that's a bad.
No, but he didn't make an impact. What was funny, Sherrod and I again had this conversation about Hayward earlier. There's nothing wrong with Hayward. Again, it's just the irony of him leaving.
I still take him back.
But it's not just that. We said it then, even at the beginning of last year, the irony of him leaving Boston theoretically to be more the man and more touches. How far is he from the man in Charlotte? He's further from the man there than he was here.
He's further down the pecking order there than he was in Boston.
When he got there, it was a little different.
Yeah. No, almost instantly, LaMelo and Rozier were ahead of him like in week two. Yeah. You know,
and Bridges was even playing
today. And now Bridges is past him. So he's fourth on the pecking order.
They got Oubre taking all of his shots now.
And Oubre's like, I like to shoot too. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's unbelievable for sure.
He's so far down the pecking order on that team.
Yeah.
He's not snatching the ball out of Oubre's hand.
He's counting his dollars either way.
Check's still the same every week. Real quick on Smart, sick all week. Thankfully, something. Because we're like, what's going on with this guy? The last 2-3 games, really the whole start of the season.
Migraine,
throwing up, chills. At least we got something there. We've been guessing.
Yeah, he had that knee bruise, and I don't think anyone saw it, but he came out before the home game in this big ass brace on his knee, and he was looking real uncomfortable. Took it off and did his normal shoot around, but at some point, that brace was real, and it's good to see him moving well, doing the Marcus Smart type things out there. 3-for-12 shooting, but making 5, 6, 7 big plays to help him win. So,
no, it's just good we have something, because it's like, what's going on? He looks so bad to start this year. And you're like, is there an intensity issue here? Is he upset about something? You're just kind of running through the list. And, you know, at least there's something physical and illness-wise that explains his start here. And he gritted through it big time today. He said he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to play today.
Well, that's good, because, I mean,
when all else fails, just say, yeah, I got the stomach bug.
But
no one's gonna doubt you.
Yeah, I threw up. That's a great excuse.
Ultimately, like, look, that's what the thing with Smart is, you know, most of what he does is a matter of choice, you know, like, right. And when he doesn't do it, you're like, why is he choosing not to be Marcus, like to be diving on floors and to be that instigator and the catalyst and the energy guy? And when he doesn't do it, you're like, wow, all that's left is this, you know, kind of bad shooter, you know, and like that's all he's got. You have an imperfect player. He has to do that stuff. So when he doesn't, you know, so again, benefit of the doubt here. We'll see. Again, mostly positive on most things here. Some people in the chat are saying like, nah, it wasn't a great game. They just had a good finish. I thought they played a really good game tonight. So
they went down. Hornets are really good. People don't realize.
Hornets are good, man. This was a good game.
When they were down like 11 points or whatever with like 5 minutes to go, I was like, this one might be over. So you got to give them a ton of credit for clawing back the way they did as the lights go out in my.
On a Houston Charlotte back to back too, which when we talk about the schedule, so weird.
Yeah. Anyway, fun game overall, guys. We're gonna wrap it. Sherrod,
time to go. As my lights.
Sherrod, anything to close? Because Jimmy, turn the lights on.
Hey, the bell.
Hold on.
Joe, Sway's Wi-Fi, Jimmy's lights. Like, what kind of operation are we running?
Dude, my connection today is horrible.
That was good today. Damn it.
You were good,
fine.
Sway.
Mine was shit.
Other than that robot really game that you had early on, Joe Sway, you're pretty good.
Am I doing that thing?
No, it's good.
No, mine was. I'll get rid of this thing. Tell him.
Hey, Joe Sway's.
Oh, I love that, Mike. Bring it back one day. Yeah. That was funny.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it's fun when we win. It's fun when we win. Sherrod, you got anything to close?
No.
Good.
Done.
All right. Then
Wizard series. We get to do the Beal thing for 3 days.
On to the Bradley Beal.
Yeah. When's that game?
I'm all set with Beal.
On to the speculating.
Wednesday.
You were loving it over the offseason, John.
I was having fun. I was just trying to stir the pot a little bit.
Yeah, you got to keep it interesting.
Yeah. We all play our parts. Sherrod, are you going to the game on Wednesday?
I will be there Wednesday.
Sherrod, Bobby will be there. Jimmy and I, Josue kind of does his own thing. Josue, what are you doing?
I don't know. I might go. We'll see.
I'll be there.
Hey, John, can I go?
Jimmy, you can go. Yeah, you can go. Jimmy, I might need you to cover some Red Sox.
I need Jimmy
year.
There. Let's say you're Jimmy
God.
Appearance.
Red yeah. Sox, you're yeah. gonna have to. You're gonna have to really sweet talk.
I'll go
that.
With you. Let's go back. Let's get back to it.
The Red yeah. Sox, are
bring
back.
The band back.
What do you mean? You don't want to do a nine hour coverage? No.
You know what happened? Yeah.
You might have to beg for a credential now after this.
You know what happened with the Red Sox while we weren't paying attention? The
they got good.
The millennials took it over. Like so great. Baseball's a young sport again. You know why?
Why? Are you sure about that?
Carrabas. I'm not kidding. It's unreal. It just became the
nicknames.
The entire culture of the sport.
Here's the thing
in terms
that he
of the
did.
Fans. It was unreal.
Cool again.
None of the players have personality or brands, and you know MLB should be paying him millions because he's creating them for these guys.
He literally is the most important guy in the game.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
And Ohtani. Ohtani was great for the game too.
Ohtani's a beast. He was unbelievable. Monster.
Well, see, that's what got us into it from the beginning. Well, at least for me, right? The Nomars doing this and Pedros and, you know, the old 14.
No, but this is what we said. Baseball was missing. The personalities.
They all have personalities.
Yeah, so like Carrabas helped provide it. He's got friggin' Kyle Schwarber's a boring dude, but now he's Kyle from Waltham. And, you know, like he's just a fun guy.
Verdugo, you know, he's just like that guy you want to chill with. Like Verdugo's got personality. Like, yeah.
Totally different. So Jimmy, I'll see you at the ballpark.
All right, we'll be there opening night.
Shout out to calm.com/garden.
Yes,
go check it out.
40% off.
40% off. Again,
I'm turning on the rain tonight. Yeah, like seriously, need double dose.
Number one app for sleep and meditation. Okay, teamed up with LeBron James. It's a big deal. This is a huge discount. Go get some.
Few of these commenters could use the calm app. They're freaking the hell out sometimes in the comment section too.
There's certain nights we could all use.
They got some anger towards me in last night's show. So you know what? Go download the comm.
Bristly early on.
Go download that comm app right now.
Go download that comm and go yourself.
Yeah, seriously. Get lost in it for a few hours.
That's what I thought you were going to
say. I think we do a fair. I think we play our part, Jimmy, in agitating some of them a little bit.
It doesn't bother me one bit. I appreciate it. I like it. Yeah. I don't read them for 6 hours after the show.
Someone goes, Jimmy, you okay with me, bro?
Yeah.
good. Yeah, I can't even read them right now. I have to read them after the damn fact.
Yep. And that's it. That's all I got for everybody. So, again, thank you for that. Thank you for watching. We had a really good audience tonight. It was a ton of fun. And it was happy in a win. We mostly kept it calm.
Yeah, calm.
You know it's gonna happen a lot, right, guys? This overtime stuff. Like this is that team. I'm telling you, we're going to overtime a lot this year. But it's
good games early on.
It's exciting.
I mean, the fact that we didn't talk about it, but that what happened on that Celtics inbound?
There's a commenter here who said,
he just lost the ball. These guys a get spot or I don't know what.
Hey, we got in there a little bit.
This comment cracks me up. Oh, these guys again. Like, did you just change the channel and came upon us? Like, what do you mean these guys again? This is
they
our
were
show.
For Goodman
like,
Ryan.
We're on it every time, man. What do you mean?
It's literally our show. Yeah, it's us again. They knock, knock, bitch. Ryan. It's
what
me
is
again.
The point of this podcast?
Wait, do you see Evan Lazar and a whole bunch of, like, a whole new crew?
You, like, turn on the Celtics game and you're like, oh, it's these Celtics players. Oh, like, what the hell did you expect to see? Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
he's talking about John and Sherrod.
Good night, everybody.